Hi, this is Jeannie Patel-Thompson from ListenToYourFreedom.com. Today, we are going to do a fabulous call with Paul Zelizer, and we're talking about energetic disconnect between you and your clients. So Paul Zelizer has a master's degree in counseling psychology. After learning a number of energy psychology techniques combined with the illuminating pathway of his own journey, Paul focused on coaching spirit-based entrepreneurs. He has since shared his perspective with Zappos, Google, and thousands of small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can visit paulzelizer.com, and that's spelled Z-E-L-I-Z-E-R.com, to connect more with Paul and his work. And so, as I said, today we're going to be talking about the fact that for many entrepreneurs and business people, there's an energetic disconnect between you and your client, and that makes it much harder to build a business. And today Paul is going to help us address that disconnect. And just, Paul, can you speak to us a little bit about that and then maybe outline what you're going to do for us today, which is extremely exciting.
Yes, absolutely. And first of all, Jeannie, though, I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me and also for what you're doing here in this program, this intentionality of making it easier and more systematic for people to learn how to grow their business. Just a beautiful intention, and I just want to bow down to it. Just thank you.
Oh, you're awesome. Thank you. Thank you back.
And, yeah, I do. I'm really passionate about this. We were talking about this before we went on air, that I see so many entrepreneurs struggling to grow their business. And that's particularly true for folks who have more of a heart-centered or spirit-centered aspect of their work, that it's not just about single bottom line. I mean, I love making money. Let me just say that out loud. I'll say it again. I love making money. but I feel really important that part of the reason I do really well in my business is that I'm not just looking at about how much money I make.
Yeah.
Kind of this paradox, right? I'm actually much more passionate about the ripple effects and my own personal mission, which is to bring more wisdom into the world of business and entrepreneurship on planet Earth, right? Mm-hmm. And I do really well in my business because I'm very fierce and very clear about my mission. It's really about bringing forth wisdom than it is just, how do I earn more money this month? As a matter of fact, I don't track that as well as some people tell me I should. And
well,
I do better than the ones who tell me that.
Exactly. And I love the way you're saying that, because every single one of us knows, even down to a five-year-old child, when someone's trying to sell them on something.
Yeah.
They know. It's like such a... It's almost as strong an energetic reality as fear. It's like, boom, this person's trying to sell me. They want something from me, and now I'm pulling back.
Yes.
So
exactly.
I love the way you're saying that, yeah, you love making money, and you're totally welcoming and open to that, but your main focus is your mission.
Yes, exactly. And it feels to me like, as I've been going along, I've been in the sector for a while now. I graduated with a counseling degree in 1991. I've been in the helping sector, seen coaching, you know, before anybody knew what it was. And, you know, I've like watched this explosion of coaching on planet Earth and all these service-based businesses and then all the products that are coming with a transformational intention on the wave of all of that. I've watched that happen way back before, you know, anybody who knew what mindfulness-based stress reduction was. That was what I was getting trained in Lesley University in the, you know, late 80s and early 90s. And I've watched this whole sector of wisdom and purpose and meaning in our work just explode globally. And many of the folks who are doing this work, who come to, you know, I don't want to be in a corporate reality, right? I mean, if we only want single bottom line, why create your own business? It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, it can be. And most of us who are listening to this program, Jeannie, most of your clientele, there's something there besides just the money, right? There's some intention of good or social impact, of helping people in a way that many corporate realities with single bottom line, just how much money, what's our share price, that's the only thing they're thinking about. That's not serving many of the people who are on this call. And there's something in you, if you're listening, that came to this desire, you know, I want to be more present with my kids and my family. I don't want to just be working all the time. You know, there's a relational intentionality, or there's some benefit that the work I'm doing has in addition to the exchange of money that's happening. And I started having this conversation many, many, many years ago, but it's intensified in me. And I'm getting more public about this conversation because I've been blessed with some incredible experiences. And I'll tell you one to kind of set the tone. Does this really matter? So there were two things that led to Zappos, according to Tony Hsieh, becoming a billion-dollar-a-year company. One was the telephone, pretty simple technology, and two was an awareness. And that awareness was that their job as a company, the leadership of the company, and every employee in that company was to form genuine emotional connection with their customers. Direct quote, right? Mm-hmm. That the telephone plus genuine emotional connection with your customers can create a billion-dollar-a-year business or any size business that you want. And a light bulb went off in my head, all the training I had done in counseling psychology about how the human nervous system works. And I saw that a lot of people who wanted to have meaning and purpose and social impact-based businesses were over-relying on technology. Zappos was doing it with one insight and the telephone. Right. And so not that the technology is wrong, and I'm a blogger, and I use Twitter, and I have an email list, and all that's really helpful, and I love that stuff. But I probably only do 25 or 30 or maybe 35% of the stuff that you ask people to or you introduce people to in your program, Jeannie. Mm-hmm. That if we get this genuine emotional connection, really get it, I mean, really get it, the amount of work goes down, the amount of fun goes up, and the ability to leverage profits, like in Tony's book, A Path to Profits, Passion and Purpose, the ability to address all of that and create all that goes way, way, way up. And that's what I want to talk about today, and not just talk about it, lead folks through an exercise to help us really explore this in a meaningful way.
So did Zappos find that their customers were preferring to connect with them by phone more than any of the other technology-based social media points of connection?
They use those technologies when we were there. Zappos has changed radically. Amazon has bought them, not because they weren't doing well, but just full disclosure. They had some big investors who wanted their money back, and they tried to figure out all sorts of ways to satisfy them, and they couldn't. So they needed a big buyer who had a lot of money, and Amazon bought them in 2010 or 2011. I think it was late 2010. So it's not the same company now. I want to be really transparent about that. When we were there, Zappos had just over 1,400 employees, and 721 of them were on Twitter. Anybody in Zappos, they didn't really have a marketing budget. They used it to really make sure their employees were happy, that they were working on their happiness goals. And then they had social media training, especially Twitter, for anybody who wanted to take it. And they rewarded people who were willing to take part in the social media training program. They got raises more. They were providing more value to the company. So, if you were a janitor at Zappos at that time, you could take social media training. And once you had a basic understanding of what the intentionalities are, you could spend some of your day, no matter what your job description, whether you were the CEO or a call service provider on the phones of people taking their orders, as well as the janitor, they encourage that behavior. So they have this like whole force of social media savvy people, including the janitors, right? It was pretty awesome to understand how they were doing that. But all of that was in support of the actual live conversations that they were having on the phone. When somebody called Zappos and you called the number and you were thinking of ordering something, what they wanted you to have was an impeccable experience of caring, connection, and an incredible attitude. Their language for it was to wow people with service. That's their corporate value, right? Really wow them by being an amazing human being, a good listener, not try to sell them shoes that they didn't want, but listen deeply, deeply, deeply to what they did want and help you find that, even if it wasn't on Zappos' website. We heard stories over and over again of somebody said, we don't sell that, but let me help you find that on Amazon or some other site. And they would help the person find it, send them the link, and then follow up, how did the shoes that you ordered from Amazon, how did that work for you?
Mm-hmm.
pretty profound attitude towards service and connection. And what they found is that when that happened, then people went out and told their friends at a rate that very few companies experience.
You know what we've experienced in our business is we'll have someone come in, let's say, and because we're a small volume health store, we can't sell at the cost of, you know, VitaCost or some of the big suppliers. So if we have someone come in and they just want one or two products, we'll actually tell them, you know what, you can get that like 30% cheaper on VitaCost, and since you're only ordering these two items, you can get them both there. You should go buy from them. And same thing, we'll send them to VitaCost. We'll give them. A lot of those people will come back the same day or the next day and said, yeah, I took a look at it, but you know what, I want to buy from you guys because I want to support what you're doing.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, wow, right?
That happens to me all the time, Jeannie. I charge twice as much for social marketing consulting and deep branding and the kind of services that I provide in my business as any other provider in northern New Mexico where I live. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and probably more than anyone in the state, right? Mm-hmm. And I tell people that if they ask, you know, here's how much I charge, and they say, wow, that's a lot. And I say, oh, but there's a person over here who also does social marketing. They don't necessarily do it with this attention to mindfulness and wisdom, but he's really good at what he does, and he's less than half the price of what I charge. And people say, let me think about it. And then they call me back 2 days later and they say, I want to work with you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the kind of emotional connection that we're talking about, genuine emotional connection that is a game changer for a business. And you can't just talk this. This is a lived, embodied experience that people who come into our business, and whether it's an electronic delivery of service or you're selling physical products or you're doing service provision in your business, I don't care. The feeling of emotional connection, really deep, meaningful, embodied experience of emotional connection, we can't fake that. And if we try, we actually decrease sales, right?
Yeah, true, because it's the fake alert. Again, we're back to, like, you know, a two-year-old child knows when you're faking it. It's not something that can be done.
And this is the work that to go a little deeper in what I want to bring today, having studied the human nervous system very, very diligently for more than 20 years, there's neurobiology we now are aware of. There's something called mirror neurons. If somebody wants to do, for example, if we want to understand how this works, we have this hardwired capacity in our nervous system, whether we're on the phone or it's coming through the feeling of the word selection on copy on a website, whether it's the video for what you're doing to your sales promotion video, or you're in person standing in front of a room wanting people to buy your product or your services. We have these incredibly sophisticated antenna in our nervous systems called mirror neurons, where we know, we're hardwired to know what's going on, to approximate in my body the closest experience of the exact emotions that are going on in your body, Jeannie, and that's all happening below conscious awareness all the time. So if somebody's faking it and I'm telling a story that I don't really believe, right, it doesn't matter whether it's on a website or the video or on the phone or in person or on this recording, right, if I'm broadcasting out there in the world, and again, there's a lot of very sophisticated studies going on about this right now, if I'm broadcasting out into the world these subtle cues about what I'm feeling and what that is truly, if I don't believe what I'm saying, then some part of you is going to know it. And I may be able to sort of manipulate over that with certain techniques, copywriting techniques or video marketing techniques, but my level of sales is going to reflect that I don't accurately believe what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. And,
because, and I've seen how I felt this happening too. Like, let's say you get with someone who's really good at masking, or maybe part of them believes it, but part of them doesn't. So it's not like you get an overall fake alert, but you're listening to them and you're kind of, yeah, okay. When you go away, something in you just goes, a little radar goes ping, ping, and you go, and it's just that that stops you from actioning anything. Because it's not in complete congruence, and something in your radar is picking that up.
And if we think of congruence as a continuum, it's not like necessarily an on or an off switch. I know I've had times in my business where, you know, early on, there were some ways I was being in my business that were congruent, but there were some things I was doing. I can think of some heavy push towards affiliate marketing early on in my business, much more so than is aligned with who I really am. That would be an example for me. I was doing that, and I was told I should do that and that it was a good idea and I'd make more money if I did it. And not that I'm against affiliate marketing, but the way I was doing it was out of integrity with who I am, right? Mm. And the percentage of sales that I made on any given email or the number of conversions, the percentage of conversions in my free chats were much lower than they are now. Part of that is I'm more skillful in those processes, but part of it is even though I was excited mostly about the work I was doing certain things that are out of integrity for who I am. And I think I was broadcasting that. And I know that people are picking up on that. Did that mean I didn't get any clients? No. But was I optimizing each and every aspect of my business for this genuine connection? Absolutely not. There's been a huge, like more than double rate of conversion on just about everything I've done. In some cases, it's like 600% more conversion on everything I do. And what that means is, I'll give you a really concrete example. I'm launching, I have two full mastermind groups with a waiting list. They just kind of fill up by themselves, and it's time to start a third. I'm starting it next week. I haven't put out an email. I haven't put it out on social media. Word of mouth and just a couple of folks who are kind of like circling around, and that mastermind group is two-thirds full, and I haven't sent out an email, right? That's the kind of results that this really careful, mindful attention to this genuine emotional connection with the kind of people we want to serve, right? So I may or may not have to next week put out an email that says I have a group that's forming because it might be full before I get a chance to even send out the email. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for the people who are listening to this, right?
Absolutely.
That kind of ease and that kind of joy. And again, it doesn't matter whether you're selling services and you're trying to fill a group or you've got products going out or you've got a digital thing going out. This intentionality of really fierce, and I use that word very deliberately, very fierce attention, not just a, oh, yeah, that connection stuff, right? Mm-hmm. When you go to Zappos, they are fierce, a month-long training, and somewhere in that training, again, back in the old days, they'd offer you $2,000 to quit, right?
Wow.
If you really don't want to be here, if you're not entirely on board with the Zappos set of values and our fierce commitment to genuine emotional connection in the telephone, right? Like these really simple ways of being and these incredibly beautiful but simple ways. When you walk down the hallways, again, Zappos of old, there were signs on the walls that said, please hang up your telephone and make eye contact.
Mm.
Please hang up your telephone and make eye contact.
Right? Mm-hmm.
They're very deliberately doing some simple things to say, we are a company that values connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to say, yeah, that's important, but not put up that sign, your equivalent in your business, to not be fierce about it, right? To not say, well, somebody's pretty good, they can get the job done, but they're not fiercely committed to the values, and we're not going to say, here's, I forget, it might have been $3,000, $2,000 or $3,000, you've been with us a week now. If you're really not resonating or it only resonates a little bit, you're in the wrong place. No shame, no blame, here's a nice check, go find something else. You're not in the right place, and we don't want you here if you're not fiercely committed to this path of genuine emotional connection.
That's actually a really good strategy because the amount is large enough that somebody who wasn't totally in with it would go, oh, I'll just take the bonus and run, right?
Yeah, I'm out of here. I don't have to work for a week or two or 30 or
yeah.
whatever their salary is, whatever
exactly.
the equivalent of that, right? Yeah. So I think that's enough framing. There's an exercise I'd love to do unless it feels like there's something else. You know your audience better than I do, Jeannie.
No,
let's
get into it.
Okay. So with this passion and with this understanding of the human nervous system, created with a colleague of mine something called business energetics. And I'm not going to talk a lot about what it is because you're not here to learn about business energetics. I want to help you learn how to connect with your ideal client more. But that's what this is. And if you want to learn more, you can email me. Where does it come from and how does it work and how to use it? So what I would ask, we're going to do a simple visualization. If you're driving or operating any heavy machinery, it's kind of like a visualization. It's a little bit of a journey we're going to go on. Just be mindful that, you know, maybe listen to it, but don't let your conscious mind, you know, wave from the fact that you are paying attention to the road. That's your job right now, right? So with that awareness, I want you to bring your attention to your breathing. Just let yourself have a couple of mindful breaths. Letting yourself notice the quality of those breaths. It's like maybe you would do with a new food, a food that you're tasting that you haven't tasted before. Like, huh, I've not had this breath before. And maybe one more breath. And as you're continuing to breathe and just letting the rise and fall of your chest and your belly going in and out, just as that's continuing to happen, what I would like your listeners to do is to imagine that you're in a simple room. And in this room are you and your ideal customer or client for the kind of business that you have. And in your mind's eye, just take a moment to check out the room. Let yourself notice what the furnishings are like. And where you are in the room, and where this ideal customer or client, where they are in the room. And as you're getting oriented in this room, you might notice that there's a feeling experience of this room. It feels good to be in the room with this customer. Maybe there's a certain level of excitement, or maybe there's a certain level of apprehension, or maybe there's a certain level of fear. Try not to make that feeling experience happen, but just acknowledge what is. There's no way we can have a genuine emotional connection if we're trying to pretend that the embodied experience is something other than what it is in this exact moment. So even if the lived and embodied experience of being in your room with your ideal customer or client isn't what you'd like, just for the purpose of this exercise, let that truth emerge of what it feels like to be in this kind of sacred, energetic conversation with this person. And so as you're noticing the feeling in the room, also notice maybe the position in the room. Is this ideal client or customer, are you all close? Or are you far away? Are you facing each other? Or is there a turning away that happens? All of this is wisdom about the kind of connection, the energetic or emotional connection. And again, it can change, but if you try to pretend something other than what is, you're doing a disservice to the genuineness part of the equation. So just for the purpose of this exercise, keep staying true to what you're noticing about what actually is, rather than what you'd like it to be. And as you're there in the room with you and your ideal client and your ideal customer, furnishings. If your ideal customer or client, if they could talk in this room, acknowledging the emotion as you have, with just the position that feels true to the way your relationship is right now, what would that ideal client or customer be saying to you right now? And again, not what you'd like them to say, but what they would actually be saying. Take a moment to feel into that. And then I'd invite you to notice, what would you be saying to that ideal client or customer? And for those of you maybe less verbal, it could also come out as a picture or a movement, but some way of communicating what's happening in this relationship in this moment. And take another moment with that. And in a little bit, we're going to close this exercise and talk about what to do with it and what you do with what you notice and what if you didn't like something you noticed. But before we do that, just take a look around, take a look around this room and notice if there's any other wisdom. Some people might notice that there's other folks in the room, other person or presence or an important object in this room that you haven't really fully gotten the wisdom of. Just let yourself take a moment to explore that. And in a minute, what we're going to do is we're going to close this conversation, but I want to say this is like Google. It doesn't go away when you shut down your computer at the end of the day, right? Google's still there. Right? What we're going to do is just close this. You can come back to this kind of sacred conversation, and I'll give you some tips, especially if something happened there that, ooh, I got some information that I don't like so much. We'll talk about that in a minute. So don't stress. This is not fixed, and you can come back to this at any time. But just for the purpose of being mindful of your energy, I'm going to ask you to just turn to your ideal client and in some way thank them. Maybe there's a gesture or a small gift. Somehow just thank you for having this sacred conversation. And then when you're ready, let your attention come back to your breathing. Just feel the rise and fall of your chest and maybe your belly going in and out as your breath is happening. Just letting that window or that window close or the computer power down or whatever the analogy is to help you come back to this moment and this breath. And take another two breaths, just letting the memory of what it feels like to breathe and be really present in your body, to have that awareness. And then maybe start to wiggle your left toe or feel your right shoulder. Just kind of shifting out of a journeying mode and back into more of a conversational mode. And take a moment, Tini, and before we kind of talk about what one can do with this and what the data that came, and anything you want to say about the journey you were on?
It was fantastic. I mean, that was so powerful. Because I did it. I did it for real. And I did it with, I didn't do it with my health business. I did it with this Listen to Your Freedom program and the people who, I mean, I have 15 testers going through it right now. So I kind of, you know, they were all in the room and, you know, they're giving me a really good sense of who the person is who's ready for this and who's willing to show up for this process. And do you want me to share what came out for, you know, what they were saying to me and what I was...
You don't have to, and we're not necessarily going to... wasn't thinking of, unless you really want to, kind of processing the details, but just what I think I'm hearing, and this is not an uncommon thing, there's a lot of data that came in a very compressed amount of time about who they are, what it felt like,
yeah,
and what was going on in that relationship. Is
and
that fair
key,
to say?
The, absolutely, and the key thing for me that was so illuminating was I had not connected in to the amount of risk involved in that person showing up and maybe for the first time in their lives saying, I'm willing to dream, and I'm willing to go for my dream.
Mm.
And that was, I didn't recognize that they would be coming from this place. So while they're really excited, they're also really scared. And it's very exposing and very vulnerable for them to maybe for the first time in their life be claiming the right to have a life that matters, to say, I matter. I matter because I'm going to manifest myself in this way. And, you know, I mean, I'm crying a little bit now as I'm speaking about this because I didn't realize before going into that space energetically how much that's a part of what people are coming to this program with.
Perfect example, Jeannie. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's the difference, that vulnerability and the risk, right? So you could, like, be in the marketplace with this program, talking about all the benefits and how systematic it is and how thoughtful you've been in the program, all the things that I know about you just from having talked to you and from the person that, you know, put us together. I wouldn't be here if I didn't trust that person and I didn't trust your ability to deliver a really good program, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet the difference, genuine emotional connection, right? Zappos, billion-dollar-a-year business. The difference in your ability to not, there's nothing manipulative to say, I see you and how much risk this is for you in some meaningful way in the marketing and in the conversations that you're having about this program. And your ability to really, not just skim over it, but deeply articulate that will increase yourself, right?
And to feel the fragility and the trust that is then inherent in that person being in that position with me. And
this is the piece that I'm incredibly passionate about, Jeannie, because when you get that, you don't have to push so hard. You don't have to manipulate anybody. We do this partially good intentioned, and I'm speaking from personal experience. I have done this. I have stepped over boundaries and been manipulative, not intentionally, but because I was trying to help people create the life they wanted, but it was an underpowered conversation because the human nervous system is wired to notice emotions. So people at HeartMath Institute, they study this stuff, right? And it depends on the emotion, but basically the number that the HeartMath Institute puts out is that emotions are about 1,000 times more powerful than thoughts.
Yeah.
Emotions are about 1,000 times more powerful than thoughts. So when we market our program and say, look, it's systematic and it's a great price and it'll get these things done, we're 1,000 times underpowered.
Yeah.
Right? We're sub-optimized. And the work that we just did in that one little, you know, 10-minute business energetics is about stepping into that 1,000 times more powerful. When it's 1,000 times more powerful, right, you can get on the phone with somebody who's really attuned to genuine emotional connection with your client or customer, and you can create a billion-dollar-a-year business with the telephone, right? You don't have to lean so heavily on intense copywriting techniques. You don't have to just grind your teeth with the search engine optimization. Not that that's bad.
Yeah.
But each piece we do, whether it's that piece of copy or the phone call, or the video or the in-person presentation can be 1,000 times more powerful if we're just willing to go a little deeper in this emotional connection exploration, just like you did, Jeannie. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Well, and the really interesting thing to me, like I'm actually going to go back and rewrite some of the beginning modules where I'm speaking about this, because what I've been focusing on until doing this, you know, deep energetic connection with the person actually in the room in front of me, I've been focusing on the excitement, right? Like,
yes.
This is so exciting. This is so cool.
Yes.
You can build this. It's so fast.
Yes.
Which is absolutely there. But I was completely under recognizing the fear and the risk and the fragility of their position to say, I will step into daring to dream and daring to even hope that I could create something different for myself.
Yes, I'm going to type out a conversation. Oh, I'm so passionate. I'm so glad you say this, Jeannie, because a lot of your listeners are going to do this. And I'll give you an example. A very dear colleague of mine, and one of my mentors, one of the people who gave me faith to step into doing this work with spiritual entrepreneurs. And now this isn't as risky. It's more common. There's more people talking about spirituality and entrepreneurship and business. But 7 years ago when I started, I didn't know anyone except for one guy who was kind of doing it. His name was Mark Silver. There were others I now know, but I didn't know them. There was one guy named Mark Silver at heartofbusiness.com. Beautiful, beautiful man. And we've become colleagues and we're working on some projects together. I adore Mark, right? Very successful business, team of, I forget if it's 4 or 5, you know, six-figure business and for his income, larger than that for his whole team. You know, he does a free call and 900 people sign up. You know, amazing guy, real business, right? This isn't a wannabe guy. This is a guy who feeds a family and lives really well.
Well, and we have a call with Mark Silver as
part of the
program, so people will get to experience him firsthand.
Good. What a beautiful man. And in addition to being a very smart entrepreneur, he's also a trained Sufi minister. Right? Amazing guy. He's running a business. He's parenting they're now 5-year-old twins. And there's some health challenges in the family, and he does caretaking. And while he's doing all that and running a team of 5, he's going back to school to become a Sufi minister because that's the level of commitment to spirituality he has. Beautiful man, right? Just blew my socks off compared to a lot of the folks that I ran into 7 years ago who are talking about building an online business. The depth that he brings, I'm just so grateful. He was 5 years ahead of me. He was in business 5 years when I was sort of on the fence. Can I really do this? Is this safe? Am I crazy, right? Spiritual entrepreneurs, you're nuts, Paul. You're going to starve, right? Spiritual people don't know how to deal with money. This is all my stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So Mark and I have been talking, and he calls it the tsunami of inspiration posts on social media, right? Everybody's trying to get in their clients from this place of inspiration and excitement, and it's not that that's bad, but when we take that approach, it's really hard for people to trust us because everybody and their sister, grandmother, and their cat is taking that approach in this marketplace, right? It's going to be awesome if you create that business or you create that relationship you love or you get your health to a more optimal state. And the awesomeness and the excitement and the inspiration, right? Mark calls it the tsunami of inspiration when it comes to social marketing these days. And what happens, the disconnect, right? How genuine does it feel when I'm that person approaching one of the listeners' businesses and I'm on that fence? And yes, a part of me does want that positive benefit. I do want a body that feels good and vibrant. I do want a relationship that is, you know, really juicy. I do want that business that pays the bills, that is done in a way that really aligns with my values. But if that's the only thing I'm experiencing in your business, of your marketing, I don't trust you, right? Because there's another part of me that's scared. This is risky. I've been burned before. There's some other quality that everybody in this call, their ideal client is feeling, and usually we're afraid to name it. We're afraid to go there. And we're losing that 1,000 times more powerful opportunity. And then we have to lean on all this mechanical stuff and some of the techniques that step in then can be maybe not 100% aligned with our integrity. And I've done it, so I'm not pointing fingers if somebody goes there. I'm just saying I want more than that for you.
Mm-hmm. and they don't work very well when you follow those, you know, product launch formulas and all the canned summit marketing techniques and stuff. They don't work as well, because I'm like you, I've tested those too, because I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm just missing the mark on this. Maybe, okay, I'll test this. I'll buy this person's $3,000 system and I'll implement it, and I'll spend 2 months doing this, you know, complicated launch with all these sequences, and at the end of the day I'm like, well, that wasn't worth my time. It didn't give people what I would normally have given them. I'll just go back to my normal way of, you know, connecting whatever way feels natural and right to me, and oh look, my sales have doubled.
Yes. They're working less and less often for more and more people, right? When you first invent one of those systems or kind of create one of those systems, or you're an early adapter of the Telit Summit model, they work for a certain number of people. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. If you get in early, it can work really well for you, right? But if you're kind
when
of
it's
a...
fresh, because people are like, oh, this is new. Let's
this
check this
amazing.
Out.
This is amazing, right? This is amazing, all this free content. And then you're like suddenly getting emails like every other day for the next greatest telesummit. And you're like, God, you know, next time summit, I'm going to puke, right? You know, like how many of these things do I get, right? So... to be fair, if they didn't work at all for nobody, they wouldn't be there. They usually do start off working for the first early adapters, and then they work less and less. And if you're a, you know, mid-range adapter, they can sort of work, but you really have to grind your teeth. And if you're a later, you know, like right now, if your great idea is a telesummit, you know, you're late to the game. Doesn't mean it can't work, but you have to be fierce, and you have to, like, have it with a level of perfection, and you have to connect with people, have huge volumes of email lists, and you have to be very precise. There's very little margin of error because there's so many summits, and the level of sophistication for many of them is quite high. And for the majority of the people who you're calling, they'd be late to the game, and they either need to pay a lot of money from somebody who has a very, very, very large database of affiliate marketers who would get that word out there, and that's an incredibly expensive proposition, or try some other technique that's maybe an early adapting, or you can just be really genuine in your attention to relationship and go very, very deep and get that 1,000-time more powerful approach without having to do all that mechanical stuff. And the only investment is the willingness to go there.
Yeah, exactly. And to just, and again, we're back to risk.
Yeah.
To say, wow, I don't know if it'll work, and nobody's done that before, or I'll risk it because that's where my heart is leading me, and that's where, you know, or I was, you know, just walking in the woods and an idea came to me. I'm going to trust that. I'm going to go with that.
Yes. And what we would do if there was more time in the actual, this is called the constellation, one of the sort of root stocks of business energetics is something called family constellations. So what we were doing is something called, it was a simple version of a constellation. What one could do if one wanted to go further with this approach is you can open up a constellation and have a more honest dialogue. Again, we're not trying to make something happen. We're not trying to manipulate the ideal client into feeling a certain way or taking a certain action. But in your case, Jeannie, you might, if you were to go back into a constellation space, into the sacred conversation space, we call them healing words in the family constellation world. In other words, just a statement of what is. It's very Zen. And you might say something to that person, I see now that you're really feeling scared and that this is a big risk for you to think about creating a business like the kind that we've been talking about. Very Zen. We're not trying to tell them what to do next, but to really work on that energetic connection in this sacred dialogue. And then I usually use the example, let the whole room breathe that in, like your nervous system, their nervous system, like what happens as they really feel you acknowledging the level of risk that there is there for them and all the emotions that come with that risk. And to give that space, not rush it. Okay, I see you're risky now. Come buy my program. Right? No.
Yeah, exactly.
Rein it back. Breathe, right? Let the whole room breathe. Sit with it a little more, and then another breath. And then what wants to happen next? What would that ideal client say? If I was that ideal client, I might say to you, Jeannie, wow, that feels really good. Thank you. Yeah, this is scary. And then breathe with the whole room. Feel that acknowledgement. And the quality of the conversations that happen there, they tend to be slower and deeper. But as they move, the movement lasts, right? And as they feel you get them, acknowledging the risk and bringing that, yeah, wow, I realize I want to change some of the way I'm positioning. I see now that I was positioning this program a lot from excitement, and that was missing the element of risk that you were talking about, right? Again, very simple healing words, not trying to push too far too fast. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, if I was that person and you said that to me, Jeannie, I might say energetically, I'd be like, yeah, thanks for getting that. That was holding me back from really wanting to sign up because I didn't know if it was okay to feel what I was feeling, just how risky this is. I didn't know if you got me there. And
right.
If you didn't get me there, well, you know, not all of me is excited entirely, and so I was hesitant to sign up. Right? So
yeah, and I emotionally, I'm not convinced that I'll be taken care of emotionally because
exactly.
You're not speaking to my fear.
Exactly.
You're not speaking to my fragility. So I'm, the excitement may be 80% of me, but the 20% of me is not feeling like you hear me or you see me or that you'll be taking care of me. And then that makes it feel even riskier to me. Maybe I'll wait.
Yes.
Maybe later.
Or will there be any tools for that 20% of me? Because I know if I don't get something to deal with this, I'm going to sabotage it, right? Some part of me is aware of that possibility, right?
Oh, beautiful. Exactly.
Right. This is exactly the kind of dialogue in this sacred way, spacious, not manipulative, just like you would talk to a really dear friend who doesn't take your bullshit, right?
Yeah.
But would call you on it and would say, and you'd have that kind of dialogue and let it emerge from there. And then you'd start to get some information. Oh, right, in my marketing and in my program delivery, I need to speak to this concern about risk and the feelings that go with it. And as that energetic awareness shifts, right, what you'll find, if you really do this and you let it inform what you're offering in your business, your sales will go up. And your real-life clients plus this energetic ideal client, they'll teach you exactly what you need to do to harness this power of genuine emotional connection. It'll change your programs. It'll change your marketing. You'll need less numbers. I don't have a big email list, right? I don't have this huge, ginormous email list because I don't have to. I haven't even sent out an email, and my next program is almost sold out, right? A very light touch. It's great. I'm building my email list, but I don't have to force it or spend tons of time and energy grinding my teeth to grow my email list because the people who are on there look forward to my emails. We have a lot of trust, and they are very likely to not only sign up themselves but also tell their friends. There's a huge component of word of mouth in my business because there's a certain level of depth and trust that only comes from years of kind of this approach of really listening both to the live people and this energetic ideal client, and everything has changed in my business as a result of that.
And I want to bring what you just said back to what we talked briefly about earlier about social media, because if we take everything we've just been talking about now and about the authenticity of the connection and what comes naturally to you and, you know, what's sort of the natural expression of your way of saying to your people, I see you and I'm hearing you and I'm in connection with you. You, like in the Listen to Your Freedom program, I give people all the social media and I say, this is how they work, this is how you, but you don't have to use all of them. In fact, you only use whichever one, and it may be just one, resonates with you that you look forward to doing that. Like for me, it's video.
Yep.
Video is my way of connecting with people, and when I get really excited about something and I want to, I found out a way to make a fake tooth. I need to shoot a video and show people how to do this. And that, seriously, I did. I found a way. It's fantastic. Like you can do a $5,000
awesome.
Implant or you can make your own for $20.
Nice.
Right? Like you can hear my excitement over that.
That's why I'm laughing, because I'm the same way. As soon as I find something out, I blog. So I want to blog about it as soon as I figure something new out. Yeah.
Yeah. So people have to, and I know for you, Paul, you're really active on Facebook, so you must really enjoy that kind of dialoguing and, you know, instant interaction with people. And
I do, Dina. One thing that most people don't understand, what I'm doing there, people say, wow, you spend a lot of time, but out of those conversations, you know, I probably spend about 45, maybe on a busy day, an hour, and even an hour and a half on Facebook. But out of those conversations is where the information about what my ideal client is feeling, I create content. Literally, my latest blog post is directly, I copied and cut the conversation, a very sweet, very extensive conversation where somebody who's actually a current client said, that was amazingly helpful. They were asking about my marketing plan, and I laid it out in conversation with them asking questions each and every step of the way. And then I said, bingo, blog post, right? And I'm just taking that Facebook conversation and polishing it, and it becomes a blog post. But it was co-created literally with my exact kind of ideal client. I adore this client and the other people who jumped in on the conversation. And they kept asking me questions and helping me refine it down and refine it down. So then when it goes on my blog, right, it's been polished for that exact person, right?
Did any of that feel like work?
No, I'm laughing the entire time. I don't know. You haven't spent time with me on social media, have you? Because I'm a total goofball.
But that's what I'm pointing out. Like, if someone said, oh, well, you need to do this and you need to do that, and then you publish it this way, that's a list of tasks. That's work.
I go goof off on social media with the kind of people I want to work with the most, and then they teach me how to get better at my business, Jeannie. I have more fun at work than almost any human being I know.
Exactly. And that's what, if people can understand that having a successful business can look like that every single day, I mean, that's freedom, right? That's freedom to be in the magnificence of what we can create here on earth. And just that fun factor. You know, I think the fun, like in all the spirituality and stuff, and, you know, it's very serious, but you know what? There's a lot of fun to be had. Like you said, just goofing off.
I came home from this is a groundbreaking trip, in case you haven't figured, this trip to Zappos. But I came home from Zappos in 2009. And you have to understand, it's in Las Vegas. And when you walk in, there's a skeleton in a pirate suit, dressed up in a pirate suit, laid out on a red chaise lounge that says, "Welcome to Zappos," right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so it's got this campy Las Vegas feel to it, or it did then. Again, it's changed. One of their core values is create fun and a little bit of weirdness. And I saw how they were living that in such a beautiful way. They do silly things. They have silly hat day at Zappos. And they did a funeral ceremony. We saw the video while we were there. A funeral ceremony for the first Zappos website when they did a new one, right?
Because it was hilarious.
Because it was like time for it to die. It was sort of the message, like, wow, we waited too long. That was sort of an old and outdated looking website. And when it died, they said, okay, everybody who can come out to the parking lot, and there's a headstone, you know, here lies the old Zappos website. They were having such a good time. I mean, such a good time. And I came back and I said, wow, I am so buttoned down in my business compared to that. And anybody who knows me knows I'm goofy, and, you know, we talk about coyote wisdom in our family. Coyote is a trickster here in New Mexico, and joking, and that sort of sparkle in the eye, and that surprising turn of events. It is hilarious that I'm a business and marketing coach. If you knew my story, which we don't have time to get into, Jeannie, but it is hilarious that I am a business and marketing coach. It's only through the divine sense of humor of the universe that that came to be. I'm a good one, but it's a very coyote journey, right? So here I am, I'm all buttoned down, you know, the picture on my website is me in a, you know, my I didn't have a tie on, but I had a sport coat on, and my button is buttoned all the way up to the top of my neck, and, you know, like Paul's buttoned down because now he's going to go into business, and he's afraid people are going to see that he doesn't really have this, like, high-power corporate background, right? I have this other set of skills. And, you know, I came back and I was like, oh my God, Paul, you are playing it so buttoned down, and that is so not who you are. And at the time in 2009, my business was okay. I was doing all right. But I was really suboptimal, both in income and client levels. And it was a lot more work. And I came back and I said, well, all right, if it works for a $1 billion company, I'm going to give it a try. And business took off, Jeannie, and I started having fun, and suddenly I'm playing with, like, world leaders, and I'm going to Google, and I became the social media director for this conference called Wisdom 2.0, and then on the stage are people like Eckhart Tolle and Marianne Williamson and Bill Ford of Ford Motor Company and the CEO of LinkedIn and the co-founders of Twitter, and my jaw is dropping open because I'm getting to peek behind the curtain at how some of the largest businesses on planet Earth, how they do things, especially social marketing. And I'm getting to learn things that even if you paid thousands and thousands of dollars, you couldn't get to, right? Mm-hmm. And that was all getting downloaded to me just because of being in a certain place at a certain time and willing to be teachable, right? It was not some, like, ego, Paul's the best thing, just this is what happened, and it's hilarious, and I was laughing.
But the founding impetus for all that, which resulted in, you know, the conference and you being with these people, was you being willing to be yourself in your business.
I
think that's the core mistake that most of us make. We go, well, I don't want to offend anybody, and I don't want to turn anybody off, so I have to white bread myself to the point where I'm appealing to everybody, and that will get me the most clients, because I don't want to turn anybody away. Do you know what I mean? It's we kind of change the positioning on that even in our dialogue to ourselves. But really we're talking about courage. We're talking about courage to say, no, you need to be yourself. And yeah, people won't like that because not everybody likes you. Not everybody likes anybody. And to be willing to stay in that space and claim it, to say, that's okay, because if I try to, you know, middle class myself out here, I am going to be palatable to everybody and vital to nobody.
Genuine emotional connection with your customer. If I stop being genuine, then the emotional connection goes down. It's not a one-way street, and this is the piece that is really hard for a lot of new entrepreneurs to really get, Jeannie, that if we look at Brené Brown's research, Brené Brown has done incredible work around what she calls vulnerability and wholeheartedness. Like, we want this wholehearted life and a vibrant business and to be working with amazing clients, right? And what Brené has beyond a shadow of a doubt through her research is said, if we're not being vulnerable, then our ability to live a wholehearted life goes down, right? Mm-hmm. If I am not really showing up as who I am and what I bring and the skills I do have and the ones that I don't have in relationship with potential clients, and again, it doesn't matter whether you communicate with that video, newsletter, social media, in person, I don't care, but am I really willing to be genuine and vulnerable in what I'm doing? And if the answer is no, then our ability to live that wholehearted life goes down. And anybody who wants to get more information about that, I suggest Brené's book, Daring Greatly. It's a fantastic book.
Mm-hmm. We art journaled that for my book club.
Oh, cool. Isn't it a great book?
Yeah, it's very good. But you know the one that I would say, if you want to go even deeper than Brené's work, I don't know if you've read it, it's by Carla McLaren. It's called The Language of Emotion.
Yes, that's another great one. Yes.
Yeah, she's almost like the precursor, and then Brené gave us the user-friendly version of Carla's work. Because
exactly.
Carla's work is so in-depth, and it's very, you know, it's fabulous. It's just a fantastic encyclopedia almost. Thank you so much, Paul.
Oh, you're welcome. It has been such a pleasure, Jeannie. And if there's anything else in terms of serving your community, it's just beautiful what you're doing here and how you're – I'm not – one of my skill sets is not systemization. And I get a sense that's a very strong skill set you have. So to be more systematic of the approach and what that larger scale map of what's available to people who have real meaningful, real purpose-based businesses. You're doing a huge service here.
Thank you. It's that's my intention, is to give people everything, and then they get to choose within that. Do I want to focus on this? Do I want to jump around? Do I want to work through it systematically? Because people have different personalities and different working styles, and so rather than trying to manipulate them in the way I've just sort of said, well, here it is, I'm throwing it all out there, and then you navigate through it the way that your gut tells you to and the way that resonates with your you know, way of being in the world, and but it's all there. It's all there for you, and you can, you know, create whatever you desire out of it. And that's why I'm so passionate about having people like you and Mark Silver, and I've got a bunch of people who are doing calls like this to help people get underneath the how-to, because if we don't get this kind of, and I'm calling it clear your blocks and saboteurs, because really, if you can't see your audience, your person that needs you, right, your customer, if you can't see them and you can't connect with them, that's a block. That's a significant block.
Absolutely.
So we need tools like this, and the one you gave us with, you know, the visioning that you led us through today, that one little piece is life-changing.
It has been for me. It's really profoundly, that quality of conversation, stepping into a sacred conversation with my ideal client, has changed everything, including my income. But again, it's not the primary reason I do it, but I say that because of who's likely to be showing up and listening to this call. This is not just woo-woo, fancy, like, pretend stuff. This is like, Tony Hsieh said billion-dollar a year of business. Paul Zelizer saying, you know, one of the leading businesses in my sector. I just want to let you know this isn't pretend. This really gets results in a very profound way.
Mm-hmm. And with so much more ease and lightness and fun and flow.
Absolutely, Jeannie.
Okay. Thanks so much, Paul. If anybody wants to connect more deeply with Paul and find out what else he has on offer of his fabulous offerings to our planet, you can reach him again at Paul Zelizer, ZELIZER.com. Thanks so much, Paul.
Thanks, Jeannie.